Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
DNBR. Draft Pod!
Wow, let's go.
Presented by Nature's of Colorado, the Northeastern Colorado dispensary, providing top quality cannabis and a wide variety of products. Remember to use code DMVR online or mention DMVR in stores or drive through. Jake Schwanitz, Henry Chisholm, Andre Simone. How are we doing, fellas?
Good. We actually, Bruce Buffer was there at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, he was sitting on, he was with Baldy and the all NFL guys. It's kind of fun. Like, just listen to him talk in a normal voice. Kind of throws you off a bit.
He speaks normal.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you should be, like, yelling or something.
Were
but
you
no.
just comparing Andre to Bruce Buffer? Is
that well, what that well, was? He was doing
he
the,
loves that
he did the DMVR draft. What was the one you really held for a long time?
You got...
Draft.
Draft.
Was
draft.
It draft?
DMVR.
That's what it was. That's what it was. I was like, okay, Bruce Buffer. There you go.
No.
Have you heard his whole story? Because his brother Michael Buffer is the
boxing guy.
Boxing guy.
Yeah.
But they grew up estranged.
Really?
Yeah. And what? So then Bruce's dad.
Is it like the twin princes where one was like set and they found each other because of their voices though?
Basically, yeah. Like Bruce's crazy. Dad was like watching wrestling. He was like, hey, that's like my half son or something like that. And called up Bruce and was like, Bruce, you're never going to believe this. And then Bruce was like, oh, that's awesome. And then Bruce and Michael were just like, hey, Bruce should be doing this too. And so he took UFC. That was like in the 90s.
Some things are just destined, man.
Some things are.
Like the Broncos and quarterbacks.
It sure is. That is a great transition. There's a quarterback. There are quarterback rules that Bill Parcells, Sean Payton's yes. longtime mentor, one of the great coaches in NFL history, course, the head coach for Bill Belichick when he was the DC for the New York Giants. Very important to Sean Payton.
Very important.
Yeah. And there's been a debate on these quarterback rules that Parcells has and their value. And I think they've kind of made a comeback as guys like Brock Purdy, for example, mm-hmm. check off all the boxes.
Yep.
And those rules for Bill Parcells are... When you evaluate a quarterback, must be a four-year college student.
Yes.
Probably the most old school and antiquated of these rules.
Yes, very, very much so.
And yet, when we go through Sean Payton's history, we will find that is one of the few things Sean has stuck to in all the quarterbacks he added, mm-hmm. especially through the draft as the New Orleans Saints head coach. Must be a three-year starter.
Yep.
There's some fine lines on this one.
Mm-hmm.
College graduate. This is a good one. And also a mm-hmm. full disclosure of the ones I'm able to find online. The most laborious one to get hard facts on. 30 career starts, which to me could kind of supplement three-year starter, frankly.
Totally, yep.
23 career wins. This is an important one. We're not big wins guys, right? No one likes... win culture.
You know, totally.
But in evaluations, I think it's good.
And
especially if you're not coming from a blue blood. Again, a uh-huh. trend I have seen in Sean Payton, not a guy who drafts blue blood QBs, but guys who drafts QBs who maybe have had mm-hmm. unusual success where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm. Somebody put together a great thread on Twitter about how quarterback wins, like, yeah, you should probably ignore those. tight end wins, though.
Oh, God.
It's actually crazy how correlated it is. Because, like, I was just telling Spencer this, but, like, it's not just that the four teams who made the Super Bowl have, like, great tight – or the conference championships have great tight ends. You go back through, like, the last – you know, the best tight ends, best 10, 20 tight ends of this century.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, most successful teams, like, all there. Like, even, like, Heath Miller barely makes the cut. And he's like, oh, yeah, he was the guy at the ceiling. But that's beside the point. Tight end wins, we're in on. Quarterback wins, not so much.
Just remember – the greatest tight ends of all time, for some, uh-huh. Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, never won a ring.
True.
That is fair.
Chargers, Chiefs, you guys suck. I hate you.
Who's 3, 4, 5?
Shannon Sharp. Ooh. Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp.
Oh. Rob Gronkowski, some guy who we probably don't name who's still
don't
playing.
Care for him. Okay,
we're
so,
not speaking his name.
We're not exactly. I'm we're not speaking his name. No.
If anyone wants to in the comments, you can thank Henry Chisholm for appearing on the Draft Pod because this is the last invite he has
tight end wins season, so. Tight end wins
yeah thank you for that sound effect. If that was much less
we're off to a roaring start, boys.
Another box to check off. 60 plus completion percentage.
Yep.
In the modern NFL, there's like two guys who've ever worked out, now three, who had a sub 60% completion percentage. Donovan McNabb.
Okay.
Brett Favre. Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Yep. And of course, that was the big knock on Josh Allen. I remember arguing with a lot of people online being like, oh, but he doesn't have 60% completion percentage.
Right.
Well, yeah, but McNabb and Favre.
Yeah.
Wasn't Trey actually Lance nice comps for him?
Wasn't Trey Lance similar?
You were the Trey Lance whisperer. Do you remember?
I hated Trey Lance.
Trey Lance famously did not work out.
But yeah, not. But he had like this no turnovers. Zero interceptions, 26-0 his senior year. I'd imagine that would equate with a high completion percentage, but maybe not. Other thing with Josh Allen.
You'd think he threw it so little.
Exactly. Whenever he threw it, it was a touchdown.
Yeah, and I almost feel like pass attempts could be something that you substitute, like number of...
Exactly,
like there's some of this you could get a smidge more analytical in.
Yep.
And dive into. Now, Sean and his tenure with the Saints from 06 to 21... only drafts four quarterbacks.
Yes.
Only two of those were drafted not in the seventh round. And I included Taysom Hill and Drew Brees just for shits and gigs. Why not, right?
Why not?
The two guys not drafted in the seventh round or beyond are Ian Book and Garrett Grayson. Ian Book is a 7 of 7 Parcells rule checkbox.
Mm-hmm.
All these guys also mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I keep talking about with Sean Payton.
Definitely.
I saw your video on Shedeur Sanders. I'd love to debate it. This is not the place. One thing that scares me about Shedeur as a Sean Payton quarterback, though, I'd say the least mobile of the guys we're going to talk about in this class and probably in next year's class.
Not Penix. I think Penix Sanders is a debate.
You're in the same range of mobility.
Okay, fair enough. But they're not.
Frankly,
like,
I think they're both better athletes than Bo Nix. Bo Nix just runs it more.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
I'll calm down.
You don't have to.
Ian Book checks off all the boxes. Garrett Grayson checks off 5.5 of the 7 boxes. 3-year starter. He was only 2.5-year starter. And Grayson actually doesn't have the 23 career wins. 19-14 record. Though that final year with Jim McElwain and him and the Rams go 10-3. I mean, it's the one really standout season the Rams have had
ever
in recent
minutes. I was going to say ever.
Ever is not correct. Ever is not correct.
Well, in my lifetime.
I'm not trying to get hate mail. That's also incorrect.
Okay.
And then you have Tommy Stevens, a running quarterback from Mississippi State, a late pick in the 7th. I think we can emulate some of that. Though he is a graduate, he is a 4-year college student, actually a super senior, and did exceed the 60% completion and the touchdown to interception ratio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Taysom Hill is a 5 of 7 guy. He barely misses on the completion percentage. He barely misses on the touchdown to interception. Drew Brees is a 7 of 7 guy. And then there's the Sean Canfield that they drafted in the 7th round in 2010. I don't know what's going on with that out of Oregon State. He's a 3 of 7 guy.
Yeah. My big takeaway is there isn't a huge history here.
No, it's a very, what the kids call, small sample size.
The kids do love to call that. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man,
but also,
it's all they're buzzing
kids
about.
Kids love small sample sizes.
He had Drew Brees most of the time. You didn't need to go find a quarterback. He was, you know,
exactly
looking for Tommy Stevens. He was trying to find another Taysom Hill type of guy, you know? You know, even Garrett Grayson, these other guys, it's like, well, maybe we have a long-term backup here or something. Like,
right.
He wasn't drafting for a franchise quarterback.
No, you're right.
You're going to let him get away with that. I can't say CSU sucks, but he can say Garrett Grayson just a long-term backup.
I think maybe there was some upside to you could be the long-term replacement. Okay. It did not work out for Garrett.
Okay.
Even CSU people would admit that.
I mean, they'd have to.
Are simple facts.
Brees played, what, 4 years more after they drafted that guy?
Yeah. Oh, at least.
Yeah.
At least. And Ian Books drafted in 21. I do think there's a trend of athletes, seniors, more experienced than inexperienced.
Yep.
And yeah, there's not a huge sample size, but I also think, especially with the guys drafted earlier, these were factors that were taken into consideration. So let's run through this. And Tiff, if you want to throw some of the graphics up as we go through the top three quarterbacks, you can. We have some beautiful stuff here.
Shout out Yaya.
Let's start with Caleb Williams, shall we?
Please. Yeah, we shall.
Caleb Williams, a 4 of 7 Parcells rules guy. Not a 4-year college player.
Mm-hmm.
2.5-year starter. I mean, as a true freshman, he takes over for Spencer Rattler, who I thought was going to be the Heisman and maybe first overall pick that year.
You know what's crazy with that?
Please.
So after the season, he transfers to USC.
He does.
You know who the top three in Heisman odds were?
I'm sorry, when?
The after year that prior. Season. No, so like
after he transferred?
After Oklahoma, after he transfers, yep.
Matt, what year
was it? It's pretty simple. It's Bryce Young, it's C.J. Stroud, and Spencer Rattler's in front of Caleb Williams, which is kind of crazy. And it only lasted like that for a couple weeks. As soon as he transferred to South Carolina, that was next. Then he like tanked. But for a second there, the odds makers thought Spencer Rattler coming back to Oklahoma was a slightly better chance of winning the Heisman as Caleb Williams going to USC.
For like Lincoln a month Riley would have left already at that point?
Yeah, he went with. Yeah.
That's
weird.
I
was just going through those odds back then, but yeah.
Rattler had some real hype there. There's no doubt about it.
And he wasn't terrible at Oklahoma. And going back through, I was just surprised at stuff. Like, he wasn't great.
He wasn't great.
Like, he was doing enough to get the 6-0. Inconsistent,
for
sure.
Very inconsistent. He's in this quarterback class.
Exactly.
Actually, but he's a Parcells rule guy.
Yeah.
Nope.
I'm not impressed. Not a fan.
That's fair. Nobody is.
2.5-year starter, though. Not a graduate. So the two things we probably care less about Caleb Williams doesn't have, and he's it's borderline on the 3-year starter. I think there's some circumstances that'll allow for that. Also, the being a 4-year college player, it limits you from the truly elite prospects who are almost always juniors coming out, right?
Yeah, definitely.
He's got the 30 career starts. He's got 34. He's got the 23 career wins. He's actually 24-10 in his career as a starter. 66.9 completion percentage. That's the highest of any quarterback not named J.J. McCarthy of the top guys we charted. 6.6 touchdown to interception ratio. Look at that right there. Just insane. No one else with a higher than 4.5 touchdown to interception ratio. Just wild. Checks out 4 of 7 boxes. Does this change your perception of Caleb Williams one way or another?
Nothing can change my perception of Caleb Williams.
Which is?
He's incredible. A phenom, almost. I'll use the G word, generational.
Ooh.
He's unbelievable.
Yep.
I kind of co-sign all of that.
Yeah. No, he's a freak. I do wonder with that touchdown interception ratio.
Yeah.
You know, if we were to kind of like tweak these to fit modern day, you definitely need to consider like the 4-year player, I might take that one out and just stick with the 3-year starters enough. But the touchdown to interception ratio is the one that I think it almost just needs to be bumped to like 3-1 because so many guys have 2-1 now.
Yeah, the lowest on this list is Penix at 2-8.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is the Indiana number skewing this a little bit.
Of course, yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, 6.6 touchdown interception ratio is crazy.
It's criminal.
Yep.
He's a unicorn for a reason, bro.
Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, the knocks are going to be doesn't do the stuff in structure.
Yep.
He can get a little bored. He wants to play backyard football. I was trying to think of the guys I've knocked in the past for that. It's Josh Allen. It's Mahomes. Johnny Manziel. I really didn't like that about Manziel.
Baker?
Hard to say if that was true or not. Baker was pretty in structure.
Okay. Yeah.
Who really like strived out a structure that you would have said, oh, this guy plays backyard football? Zach Wilson?
Yeah. Zach Wilson, Jordan definitely.
Jordan a Love's Jordan not Love. A bad one. Yeah. I like was Malik trying to think Willis? Trey Lance. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Sorry?
Malik Willis. When we
yeah,
talked about him.
Malik Willis, big time. I was thinking of Trey Lance, but I think a lot of that's more designated
exactly.
QB runs or boots.
The structure is just a
it's structured.
Weird structure. Yeah.
Sam
yeah.
Howell did that shit too. He was
Sam
running
Howell
around.
Sam Howell does, yeah. So, you know, it's a mixed bag. I kind of would rather the guy who can make plays above the X's and O's, though, and then rein him in and let him perform more in the...
Drew Locke?
Lamar Jackson?
Yes. Lamar Jackson, yeah.
These are coachable things.
Drew Locke's a decent one. There's some backyard football to his game, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Wentz, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A little bit at North Dakota?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the concern for him. Anything else on Caleb Williams while we go through the Parcells rule stuff?
I mean, he's just a freak.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much more to it than that.
Like, Sean Payton fit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Any fit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean,
it yeah. really is any.
Especially when you're talking about rookie quarterbacks. Because, like, it's rare that you get one where it's just like, oh, yeah, plug him in. And, like, Shadur might be the next guy who's just like, yep, run, like, whatever complex offense you want. Like, he'll step right in there. He can go 1, 2, 3, make all his reads and make all those throws. Like, the fact that we're getting so far away from that in college football, like, if that's the one concern with Caleb Williams, I mean, that's a concern for everybody at this point.
Totally. And I mean, quarterback evaluation, I think more and more is who has the raw talent to survive, make plays, find success earlier in their career. Mm-hmm. To buy them a few years for their mind to catch up to the speed of the NFL game, not completely tank their confidence and their ability to even have a chance to start anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then get into that latter part of their career where you really can get your Brady on, you know, and start becoming more of an advanced cerebral quarterback. I'll tell you guys, Drake May was probably the most surprising of this one. He only checks off 2 of 7 boxes. Just a 2-year starter, just 26 starts. His record's 17-9, which, hey, at North Carolina,
exactly.
having like a win percentage that is 65%, I think is half decent in the ACC.
Definitely. Yep.
I think that kind of fits the Sean Payton model of like guys... You know, we've had success. Drew Brees, what he did at Purdue, not many other guys have done. What Garrett Grayson did at CSU. Even what Ian Book did at Notre Dame.
Ian Book was a revelation for Notre Dame.
No doubt. And took him to the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
At best, they were a Jimmy Clausen 9-win, 10-win team.
Yep.
He actually took him to the playoffs and had him undefeated and won a lot of games. So even though that's a knock and he's not going to get that, I think that's a good one for Drake May. He just gets the completion percentage and the touchdown to interception, which touchdown to interception 3.9 is lower than Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy, and Caleb Williams. 2 of 7 would be less boxes checked on the Parcells QB rules checklist than any quarterback from what my research found that Sean Payton's worked with in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are both big Drake May haters, or becoming
Man,
so.
Man, why you gotta say that like that? I never said I hate him.
I'm just trying to create interesting content and lead with spicy segues, man.
I watch him, and he makes great throws. He's a great athlete. I just feel underwhelmed every time, almost.
What is it that leaves you with real questions of how's this going to translate to the NFL?
How he plays under pressure, for one.
With the caveat being like, as soon as he gets hit and there's a guy around his waist, then he's back to being like an alien. Like,
right.
As like, if there's a guy coming at him, he'll just miss the throw. As soon as the guy's like wrapped around him, it's like, yeah, bang, just complete right over
it's
the middle.
It's weird.
It is weird. Yeah. That's why, like, I was going through the notes, like trying to figure out like who is worse than a collapsing pocket. And I was like, well, collapsing pocket, Drake May sucks. Guy all over him. Awesome.
Yeah. Sprinting to the sideline with like an edge just chasing him down. Maybe he's got his jersey or something. He'll get the throw off.
That, yeah.
That's where he reminds me of Andrew Luck when he does stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's athletic. The arm jumps off the page. There's some red zone throws that are like, man, this dude's high end. But between the stuff you guys tell me, between these, there's one guy I say this exercise did make me. I'm going to have to go back to the drawing board a little, try to watch him with fresh eyes. It is Drake May. Mm-hmm. It really is. And I wonder, as we talk about draft capital, and what would it take for the Broncos to move up all the way up to like the top three? It starts to creep in. Would Drake May be worth it?
And that's where I'm at. Because you can't argue with anything he does, like 15 yards downfield or more.
Right.
Like
he drops it in the bucket, man.
He does. And like the not even just the accuracy, but like the placement. Like every time it's like he's the perfect spot over and over and over again. But just that is super important. But yes, it does feel like the modern NFL, some of it is, I mean, starting with like the Peyton Manning Brady era where it just like dice you up underneath. Like, keep it on schedule. Like, 8 yards, 8 yards, 8 yards, over and over. And I don't know that he has that. Like, if you want, like, an RPO slant, he'll do those. And in Sean Payton offense, when so much, like, Michael Thomas slant guy, like, you've got all that stuff. But when it comes time to, like, make those quick reads underneath, I just don't know that he has that. And as much as you like that stuff downfield, it's the reason everybody's passing the ball now is for the efficiency of it. And when you're saying, like, we got to hit 1 and 3 downfield versus two of three short, like the numbers, the ratios of what you need just change so much, and I'm not sure. That's just not his game. It doesn't mean he can't learn, but that's my concern.
Right. It comes down to the Caleb Williams discussion. It's like, and the other thing is, I've evaluated the wide receivers coming out that program the last couple of years. They're deep threats.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of intermediate weapons there, you know. Mm-hmm. I could see how that's more what he's going for. And maybe in the red zone, I do feel like in tighter quarters is where you see him shine a bit more. And then there's that other thing with Drake May where it's like, well, sometimes this happens where we hype a guy the first time he jumps on the scene.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it takes a minute to adjust.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, kind of like what you said. I watched him today, and it's like, I felt like I didn't watch enough. Like, and at some point, you watch the whole two seasons. Yeah. And you're neither closer nor further to coming to a conclusion, or you're right back where you started.
That's right.
But what you can't...
And you do this long enough, you start to hear some of the, like, legitimate concerns you guys are bringing up. Start to think in my head, yeah, boy, I swear I was saying the same shit about Josh Allen. I swear I was saying the same kind of stuff about Patrick Mahomes.
It is, but then you like end up faking yourself out. It's like,
no,
well,
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
So, I mean, it's a science.
It's also tough when there's like Caleb Williams right there with like just generational instincts on top of being like a freak. But just like the way that the angles that work, the way that like he gets out of the pocket and all of a sudden it almost looks like an option with like a running back leaking out in front. And it's like, oh, he's got this defender like stuck right here. And like, oh, where's he going to go? Do I run or do I don't? Like, there's just so much of that sort of stuff. Whereas when I watch Drake May, I don't see like a baller. Like, I don't see somebody who it's like, oh my God, like this guy's like, there's a lot of, I mentioned this to you before, but it feels like the throws to running backs behind the line of scrimmage who then get like hit for the first time 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage. It's just like, don't do that. Or like, there's plays where like he's run out of bounds like 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage instead of throwing the ball away. It's just like, he's a young player, but it's I don't even know it's football IQ as much as just like the instincts just aren't there yet.
It's like feel for the game almost.
Exactly. There's just one of those things where it just feels a little bit off. And again, a lot of it's like you watch Jaden Daniels and it's like,
he's
oh my
the
God.
Least experienced of all these guys.
It does make sense.
That's part of it.
And like,
for
you can't argue with like the size and the speed and the strength and like all the raw tools are there. He's put them to good use down the field, but you just need to complete the package. And just be a winner almost. Like, it feels like when you need to get 5 yards, is he going to get you 5 yards? Winning. I'm just not convinced that he just hasn't shown me that he can.
Winning down to down, basically.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, he'll give you some chunk plays. Like, it's almost, it almost, people love to compare him to Herbert, but you get some of that vibe there too, where it's like, there's so much going on and there's so many big plays. How are they not just like winning games? It's because they just don't, you just need to be able to consistently matriculate down the field, you know? I'm just not sure he has that.
Yeah.
That's my concern. But still, like, easy.
And I mean, maybe he's more Jay Cutler than Andrew Luck.
Definitely. I mean, this is what you just talked about. I was thinking about a lot today, the last 2 days watching these guys, was, you know, what do I value most when I come to ranking these guys? And for this class, for whatever reason, that aspect, that feel for the game, that just, you know, natural, like, I almost kind of hate to say it, but when you watch him and you just kind of see it and you know it, like, it, you just, that's exactly. A quarterback right there. He's playing the game like an NFL quarterback.
Exactly.
That type of thing. That's what I came back to a lot with this class.
But that's what, like, Shadur is a gamer.
Is it that he looks like a quarterback?
No.
isn't playing like a quarterback?
No.
I mean, he does look like a prototype.
He looks like a prototype, guys.
Yeah.
But it's just like watching the offense, how they move down the field, how they call plays. How he responds to pressure, you know, what's like his go-to move in and out of pressure.
Yep.
Just, you know, hitting the consistent, as Hank said, short to intermediate stuff. Like,
yeah.
Bore me with completions, man. Like, just keep exactly. on getting completions for me and we'll move the ball.
And that's why I look like it's the opposite of Shadur, where I feel like he, like, you want to set your corners off, like, run 5 curls and he'll just get whoever's exactly. open. He'll just do it over and over exactly. and over. And it's like, oh, you want to go to like cover 2 or man or something. He's got something that comes. Like, it all just like flows together in a way that I just feel like Drake May doesn't have, his game just doesn't flow together. He has all that downfield stuff, which again, you cannot ignore, but it just, I just want more. He's still a top 3 pick. If you're sitting there, if you're the Commanders, don't overthink it.
He checks off the special sauce boxes. He checks off the special sauce boxes.
Exactly.
And that's the raw tools get you really excited. Yes.
Whole lot of frosting.
How the raw tools then complement everything else is really the concern ultimately.
A lot of whipped cream on the sundae. Plenty of gravy on those potatoes.
No, I mean...
yes. He does the hard parts.
It's more like, I don't know, it's a sprinkle of caviar on there, you know? Like, not every bagel comes with a sprinkle of caviar, that, you know?
Only, okay, that's fair.
Only some. Broncos fans haven't had a sprinkle of caviar in a minute.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
lots true. Of cream cheese and lox, yeah. But no extra caviar.
But like what Hank said, I mean, you look at what Drake May does, and you look at the traits, and that's what scouting is, right? It's looking at the traits. Mm-hmm. It's projecting traits. It's not looking at box scores. You know, how did this game compare to this game?
Yeah.
It's do the traits translate? And there are plenty of translatable traits from Drake May. But, you know, the playing field of the NFL is leveled more. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Those traits don't pop as much in the NFL.
Is this the kind of prospect where if you just did a, like, numerical grading system based on categories, he grades a lot higher than if you as a human try to sit down and really scout him and give a full context of the
those are the most interesting. Wherever he goes, like if it's Washington and you can get on Madden and play Drake May and Terry McLaurin, have the time of your life right there. Like, you're winning a bunch of, like, that is a dream to play with.
By the way, the numerical system, I think, usually steers me right.
Huh. That's how I learned to scout.
The eye and context can be deceiving. You start to make excuses and exceptions for people, and it gets you in trouble.
And you have to think Sean Payton, too. Or it's like, this is Sean Payton making the pick. I have the
perfect transition. We will talk about this on the next side.
Sean sees him as a big ball of Play-Doh.
He does, right.
So much Play-Doh.
There are never any excuses or exceptions when it comes to drinking Breckenridge Brewery.
That's even more Play-Doh.
Our craft beer of choice at DMVR. You want that extra little taste? They've got you covered. Beer of the month at the DMVR par is Avalanche Ale. Breck beer has a beer for any Yeah. Look at us. Wow. Look at us. For any occasion there is, there's no better way to watch a game, have some Breck Brew with the homies on the slopes, sometimes on the couch, a little extra taste.
Yeah.
Relax, you know?
Yeah.
Me and Lexi had a long 3-podcast day.
We're going to the bar tonight.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This bar.
I've only seen, we've only been here for like a few Nuggets and Avs games.
Hell yeah. Double header tonight.
Overall, also, like, this is the final push, so we're coming down watching games, drinking some beers.
I love this for us. Yes. Check out the beer locator at breckbrew.com to find a Breck Brew near you. And, as always, our presenting sponsor, Nature's of Colorado, premier. They do great stuff here. They do great stuff. They're the Northeast dispensary of choice, providing top-quality cannabis and a variety of products. You got to go there. Check them out. Use the drive-through if you find yourself around them. $99 ounces every day. Use our code DMVR to get a full ounce of any shelf for $85 an ounce. They've got all sorts of great deals. Remember to use our code online or mention us when you go in stores. Use their drive-through. They've got you covered in all areas. Okay. Circling back on Drake May real quick. Sean Payton would be intrigued by him, even though he doesn't check off any Parcells rules. No,
that's a different conversation. Like, I think that's a red flag. Like, I think Sean looks at the 2 of 7. It's 2. Yeah.
Correct.
That is a turnoff. There's still obviously the turn-ons. And I think that we have to remember that.
Whoa.
Yeah. We when we sit here and talk about, we're saying, like, will he work out?
Yeah.
Sean sits there and says, can I make him work out? Which is just like a little bit different conversation. And when you see like the ball of clay, it's like, do we sit here and want to bet on what he becomes?
It's the,
I don't know,
I'm going to fix him boyfriend talk.
Exactly. Right? Which is a little bit different than like the friend saying like, is he fixable? Those perspectives can be varied.
Yes. Totally,
great point.
Totally.
Yeah. So I do think, I'm curious because I'm going to have Zach. Zach's doing the combine this week, and I'm going to see if I can get him because he'll probably only get like one question in with Sean. But I want to ask Sean about the quarterback rules because I feel like that's a big one because obviously like Bill Parcells guy. So like, do you update the rules? You throw him out? Like, so I'm going to push that on Zach.
You've always only drafted seniors?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to see if Zach
seniors
that,
in most cases.
I'd be curious because we talked about it a little bit, but the rules... Rules about college football players in the 90s are a little bit different than rules about college football players
today.
That's
right.
Very much so.
I think Parcells wrote these closer to the 80s.
Yeah, I believe it.
Our first 5 of 5 guy is, in fact, Jaden Daniels. College graduate, 5-year starter, basically. I mean, okay. From the get when he gets to Arizona State. 55 career starts. Graduated back at ASU. As just a junior, from what I could find, 37-18 record. Pretty nice. A 67% win percentage, 66% completion percentage, 4.5 touchdown to interception ratio. I guess this shouldn't come as a surprise.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels fits nicely. You gave me a really interesting comp earlier, Jake.
Reminds me so much of RG3 in many ways.
Wow.
He's got the
it's so true.
Got the arm to go all
it's
over
a
the
great
field.
Comp. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he has the exact top end speed RG3 used to have,
yep,
but
I would agree.
He's a burner. I mean, he can run away from guys.
The fact that he makes you think of RG3 and me, Michael Vick, as a runner tells you this guy has nutty wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nutty wheels, man. Super fast.
But then on the other side of that, I watch him run around. I watch how he gets hit, how he gets folded like a lawn chair half the time.
Yes.
He does not know how to slide.
Things that we defended about like Kyler and Bryce, smaller quarterbacks, but quarterbacks where it was like, if these guys can't defend themselves as a runner, I'm out.
Right.
They were really good at. Mm-hmm. Jaden, durability is always going to be such a concern. And it's because he feels lighter than he's listed at.
Mm-hmm.
You see him listed at 6'3", 220 even in some places. Yeah. You're like, holy shit. It's the one guy with prototypical size.
No, but Lamar was 6'3", 220.
On the field, he does not look it.
No.
He doesn't. And as you said, he takes hits that are like, shit, how's he getting up from this?
Well, then you go back to like his freshman year. That's I think they listed him 165.
Oh man,
and that totally checks
it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Freshman year, Jaden Daniels was,
and those concerns have lingered with me.
Oh yeah, as they should.
Yeah,
I mean, because you see him at that size and say, regardless of what the actual weight is right now, you worked hard to get that weight on. Mm-hmm. How much more weight is there to put on?
Yeah,
you know, because you've spent the last 4 or 5 years just adding and adding and adding. At some point, you just can't add much more. That's where you wind up with the soft tissue stuff or whatever.
He's dripping with special sauce, though, I tell you what.
He's amazing to watch. He's a lot of fun.
The deep ball accuracy.
Yeah.
Easy arm strength. Quick release. And the running ability.
Yeah. He's a ton of fun. And I love watching him play football, but I watch him take these hits, and I'm just like, man, you got to help yourself, bro. Like, mm-hmm. you got to try and get out of bounds. You got to learn to slide. Mm-hmm. And he's got that RG3 thing where it's like he takes off and he's trying to score every time.
Yeah.
And it's like you kind of be more like Lamar where you're running to the open space. You're not mm-hmm. running to the end zone every play.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. That definitely, again, like that's a difference, I think, sitting here saying like, oh no, that's a reason I'm not sure I would bet on him. If you're Sean Payton, you say, I can get that out of him. I can teach him how to do it. And he might be wrong, but when you're looking at it from the coaching perspective,
totally.
It's a little bit different conversation.
Well, we talk about it for years on the Draft Pod. The egos on these coaches making millions of dollars, having these coveted jobs that only 30 people in the world have. Mm-hmm. You would think that, I can teach a guy how to slide.
Right.
Yeah. We're not talking rocket science. Teaching a guy how to slide when he scrambles. Yeah. Sounds doable.
Exactly.
Shit, I think I could accomplish that task. Yep. If you're giving him truth.
You go give him some examples. Here's how you do it, Jaden.
Yeah. Take him to a couple Rockies games. Exactly. You see that slide,
Jaden? I mean, see, that's the thing, though, is like, why not? Like, you get those Rockies to come to you. It's like, hey, whoever the base steely guy is, I'm going to learn this soon. You come out here. We'll give you like 10 grand. Come teach Jaden how to slide.
Totally. It's why I tune into the DMVR Rockies pod every day to find out who the base steely guys are.
I'm excited. I'm doing the Denver Sports podcast tomorrow. Starts at 2.
What a plug.
Yeah. So definitely, again, like tune in, watch that. First Rocky spring training game at 1. Harrison didn't love the idea. I'm going to turn it into a little bit of a Rocky watch along. Not that it's broadcast anywhere, but.
Whoa.
At least be reading what's
this
going on.
This is wild. I love this.
Can't wait to tune in, Hank.
Yeah.
Does it change your guys' perception of Jaden at all that he's a 7 of 7 Parcells rules guy? And the only one of the top 3 that can say that.
Again, not really. I don't question his talent or ability.
But does that raw talent paired with that kind of experience get you intrigued?
And not because he hasn't learned how to slide. Like, that's what I'm concerned about, though.
To me, it
hey, safety first, as Danger Aaron would say.
I started covering CU Jaden's freshman year, so 2019. So I've been watching him for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Madden 20, first year of the DMVR Madden League. Yeah. I drafted him in like the 7th round because I was like, oh, this is my guy. So, I love that he checks the boxes. Seeing that he checks the boxes doesn't like necessarily change it for me because, like, I know he's experienced. I've watched. Like, it's definitely, like, good to see it is 7 of 7. But I do think that experience is beneficial. Like, that's, to me, like, part of the reason I've been so excited about him is because I've seen him go through so many different stages from, like, immediate star. Teams don't know how to defend him. To sliding back a little bit.
Right.
To, like, he went, like, I think it was, like, 14 months without a turnover. No picks, no fumbles. I got to try to figure out when that was. And then the last year, like 10 picks, 10 interceptions, the COVID year at Arizona State, transfers, and just breaks out LSU. Like, he's gone through that journey. Whereas you look at some of the less experienced guys, you know, like a Drake May, who I feel like is still somehow like on this little upswing of his journey. He hasn't had the downfall and then recovered it. Like, you know?
Definitely.
Jaden, he's gone through the adversity. He's found different ways to win.
He does.
It's helpful.
It's not quite Garrett Grayson at CSU, but I think, you know, his success at Arizona State, his success at LSU.
Desmond Ridder at Cincinnati.
Stands out more than most at those two programs over the years.
Yeah,
Ridder at Cincinnati. You're right.
Jaden kind of gets screwed by
Paxton Lynch at Memphis.
Yeah.
Drew Locke at Missouri.
Yikes. But Jaden Daniels kind of gets screwed by Joe Burrow. If that whole Burrow era doesn't exist.
Literally 1 year.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Burrow Justin stunk Jefferson. His first year totally. At LSU. No one taught.
That's strong, bro. He
no, he stunk. He stunk.
They won like 9 games that year, man.
Not with him looking very good.
Oh, all right.
J.J. McCarthy.
Okay.
Yeah.
3 of 7.
Uh-huh.
But the two, so he's not a graduate or a 4-year college player. 2 years as a starter. In those 2 years, plays 29 games. So he almost gets to the 30-game threshold in just 2 years in the Big Ten. 28-1 record. 96.5% win percentage. Not too shabby. Did you know he has the highest completion percentage of all the top guys in this class?
I've been looking at your sheet, yeah.
That surprised me, though. Yeah, did yeah. you know oh, that going
no,
in?
No.
Yeah, that surprised me.
Yep.
You would. That's not the label he has as like most accurate of the class.
Yeah.
And again, I wouldn't say he is. I'm not trying to say he is.
Bo Nix gets that. Would you get he earned he it this season? Bo like, if you're talking last year, who it was, like,
so
he did.
Playing
he did
catch with your kids in the backyard.
Oh, so, oh absolutely.
Grandkids.
wow. Dang. Wow. But yeah, I mean, it is weird. We'll get to Bo Nix, I guess. But that's
tied
kind
with
of
Jaden Daniels dichotomy. With the second highest touchdown to interception ratio, mm-hmm. McCarthy.
Yep.
So he checks 3 of 7. But honestly, this did change my perception of JJ.
Yeah.
For the better.
Oh.
In a positive way.
Huh.
He doesn't have that experience that historically we've seen Sean covet, but for a younger guy has played a lot of college and some high profile college games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Of those 29 starts, 2 are Big Ten championships. There's 3 playoff games in that mix. That's 5 pretty high end games on top of playing, you know, the biggest rivalry in college football. Another 2 times. That's 7 of the 29. Mm-hmm. Michigan State and beating up on the ghost of Mel Tucker a couple times a year. You got that going. That's 9 of 29.
Owned Penn State.
True.
So that's 11 of 29. Pretty high leverage games. The stats jump out.
Mm-hmm.
The stats are really good. Whether it's win percentage, completion percentage, touchdown to interception ratio, and he's got the raw tools and some of that special sauce we've been talking about.
Yep.
Sean fit? It's the ultimate dilemma. I placed the bet on Bet365 that the Bronco he'll be drafted by the Broncos. I thought the odds were good at the time. I
good bet.
This. Yeah.
Good bet. You watched JJ McCarthy play, and he kind of has what we were talking about with Drake May. I watch him, and it's like, this is a quarterback.
Yep.
He just knows how to play the position. For me, it was kind of rough at times because, you know, there were certain throws I just, like, look back on and go, damn it, I wish he didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But when you look at the whole body of work and you go back, you know, kind of out of the context of a season and just look at it as literally scouting a player as opposed to, you know, in my case, one of my favorite teams.
Yeah,
he just does it all down to down. He will check it down. He's fine with just, you know, flipping it to a fullback or a tight end for a short gain. Keep the chains moving a bit.
Yep.
Great athlete. Phenomenal athlete. Super athletic class. He's right up there with the best of them.
Yep. Good size. Great runner. And I think he does some of his best stuff off script. Different from a Caleb Williams or a Drake May or a Jaden Daniels. It's more like he's dead to rights.
Yeah.
His body's contorted weirdly and he can just get a throw out while his feet aren't set at all. And he's kind of like hanging back and falling behind.
You know, he can.
And that's where he impresses me.
He had like a touchdown pass against Nebraska. He's rolling to his left and like throws it like while reaching all the way back to, you know, get his arm back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got pretty much the whole package.
Yeah. The accuracy will come and go a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Ball placement doesn't feel like the best.
No. Yes. But there are some throws, though. Like, even some bad decision throws that work out. Like, I think it was Washington where there was, like, a little curl in the slot. It's like he just doesn't even see the linebacker coming over. Maybe sees him late and, like, whips it to the outside. And it's, like, just inches past the fingers of the linebacker. Like, should never have thrown that ball, but
the throw in the net and the Rose Bowl against Alabama on that game-winning drive where the linebacker, you know, tips it and it goes to Roman Wilson after he tips it, like stuff like that.
Yep.
The first throw in the game against Alabama, man. Should have been an interception.
He's fairly gutsy, But the touchdown to interception, the completion percentage, tell us it works out for him quite a bit more often than not.
You can't bet on that, though.
Tell us why. Margins? Margins conversation? Yeah.
Margins. You can't.
Margins decrease?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They do.
I mean, eventually.
They do significantly.
Yeah.
If you're relying on the bounce of the football, eventually it's going to go the other way. It's just how it works, how the game works.
Yeah.
And when that linebacker's arm is just like this much longer because it's an NFL linebacker, a little bit different. When he jumps just this much higher because he's an NFL linebacker,
or if it's Kyle Hamilton, he'll just go up there and snag it with one hand instead.
Yep.
It's a good point. That's a good point.
Got long arms, those linebackers.
Moving on.
Okay.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah. My guy.
That's your guy too. I love to hear that.
Oh, I love the Michael
next,
Penix Jr.
The next three guys we've got here, they're all 7-of-7 guys. It's Penix, Bo Nix, and Michael Pratt. Penix, does this change things for you?
No.
Why do you love him so much? And why do you think he's a good Sean Payton fit?
Accuracy, ball placement, just a sniper is what he is.
Gutsy.
Yes, best in class at those in those areas.
The fact that he has a 39-8 record playing at Indiana.
And Washington.
And Washington. And what Washington was when he got there. And
they were terrible.
Right? Because like, this wasn't Jake Browning's Washington. They were there and then they fell off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Penix brings them back.
Montana beat
39 and 8.
I think that was the year before Montana got him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what happened this year?
9
Both
and
teams
eight.
In the championship. Both teams lose.
Meant to be, Hank.
Yeah. Couple drink, second place teams.
Drink away. There's your Montana reference.
Ooh.
5 years as a starter, like Jaden Daniels.
We love that.
Is he too much of a system quarterback?
No. You can't teach accuracy.
Yep.
You can't teach that shit.
Placement?
Yeah. Yep. It's just...
He's decisive. And the accuracy is on deep balls.
Yep. Yeah. It's all over the field.
And there's accuracy and ability to mix it up from different arm angles, different platforms with your legs, and get the ball out. That's where his athleticism, ability to shine above the X's and O's... You know, it's not Caleb Williams running away from Leitu Latu,
right? Yep.
Full speed, contorting his body like mid-jump and throwing it 45 yards downfield on a frozen rope on the exact outside shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
But it is having a guy bearing down on you, and instead of getting sacked or like the ball comes out wrong, being able to like contort your hips just enough to still get that out with zip and placement on time, avoid the sack. Have bought yourself that extra second and made it work, even though conditions weren't perfect. That's also above the X's and O's. That's also not how we drew it up and being able to overcome that, right?
We saw it a lot from CJ Stroud this year in his first year in the NFL. Like, just one, it's very Tom Brady-esque. Just one step in the pocket to find that window. Penix does that a lot.
Totally.
Comes down to feel for the game again.
Totally.
Right.
And he's another guy who's just fought so many battles. Like, again, like, over and over.
He is resilient on and off the field. What a great point. I hadn't even thought of that.
And then you even go back to, like, I remember the first time I watched him.
So explain that to people on kind of a, you know, for someone who doesn't know his history.
Well, I mean, there's a whole lot. So, like, the two torn ACLs and the shoulder. So, like, three straight seasons that ended with an injury.
Yeah.
And last two totally healthy, which is, you love to see it, but that's a lot to go through. Obviously you transfer, but like, I remember going back to, the first time I ever watched him was against Penn State in 2020. Mm-hmm. He has the dive for the 2-point conversion upset number 8 Penn State during the COVID year. And you're like, oh shit, this guy can play.
Like, in my lifetime, I'd never seen an Indiana team do anything like that.
No. And so you see that and you're like, oh my God. And in my mind, I remember that as being like the play that he got hurt. I don't think that's actually true. It was like shortly after that. But,
it was that game, right?
It must have been. I mean, that was the overtime. I thought so too. But I just Googled the play just to make sure I was remembering it right. And nothing says like, yeah, tore his ACL or whatever it was. But yeah, I mean, to have gone through all that, to take Washington to where Washington's gone, like just the highs and lows and highs and lows. Like, everybody wants the young, like J.J. McCarthy's kind of like the happy little puppy. Where it's like he's gone out there, things have gone well for him. He's done his part in making things go well, but there hasn't been like a whole lot of adversity. Mm-hmm. Like you put Penix in that huddle. Like, I just think that there's a different I think he's ready. Like, I think that you can plug him in week one and he'll go put the ball where it needs to be. And who knows if the receivers will catch it, but like he gives his receivers a chance over and over and over again. Like, that ball on those sidelines, it's just right where it needs to be, right past the defender. And that's all you can really ask, is like, he gives his receivers a chance just about every single play.
Is there any special sauce?
Not much special sauce. I mean, the accuracy. If you wanted to make the case, the case would be the accuracy. But that just, the special sauce, usually think of like, oh, he's fast, or like he's strong, or like,
yeah. Is there one raw tool that ticks plus, as a baseball scout would say? Size, athleticism, mobility. Arm strength.
Yeah, mobility 4 years ago. Here, is it deep now, ball accuracy? Probably.
Elusiveness maybe is a.
He's solid
ticks
in the pocket. Yeah.
But like, I mean, he still kind of runs and stuff. Like, he's does, not like scared to take off anymore.
Throwing on the move. I'd say if there's something that ticks as a plus category, it's probably deep ball accuracy.
Yep. Yeah. Me too.
He's quick release too.
Especially totally. From within the pocket.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, deep ball accuracy, all things equal. Maybe Caleb gets the advantage in this class.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Jaden. In
I think
the pocket.
Probably, yeah.
Shit. That's the thing. Jaden has. Jaden was a stone cold killer to be in that conversation. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those are two guys who I just love the fact that they fought back and fought, and they've got like, they have earned everything they've gotten, and they feel like they're as ready to go.
And if you're a Parcells guy and you like that, you like veterans who've been through the wars, that's really appealing for Penix and Jaden Daniels. Closing this out, Bo Nix, 7 of 7, Parcells rules guy, super senior. 61 career starts, 43-18. Mm-hmm. What? 66 career completion percentage, 4.3 touchdown to interception ratio.
Yeah. So I mentioned my first like memory of Michael Penix is that dive in overtime in 2020.
Yeah.
My first memory of Bo Nix, So this was his very first career game.
Yep.
Against Auburn. Yep. Where was it? Was that in Texas?
Jerry World, I think
it was Jerry World. Yeah.
Against who? Sorry.
Against Oregon.
Against Oregon.
Yes!
And Justin
against
Herbert.
Against Oregon.
And Justin Herbert threw the ball out of the end zone in the last play.
Yeah. Real genius there,
right,
too.
He pulls off the upset.
Bo does. By completing 13 of 31 passes with 2 touchdowns and 2 picks. It wasn't necessarily Bo.
His evolution, different than Jaden Daniels and Michael Penix. Mm-hmm.
He was one of those guys who come in, you're like, oh, Auburn kind of got a guy. And then you watch him play and you're like, oh, this didn't go well. A little Graham Mertzy, some would say, but with a bit of a return at the end. And credit to him for that, playing at Oregon against the Pac-12.
He's very hard for me.
Yeah, he should be. Yeah.
Can I ask you guys, let me pose this question to you. Because the SEC is the SEC. They're the premier conference in college football.
Sure.
He goes, that's what you're going to play against in the NFL. Yeah. It's going to be more like it was at Auburn for him in the NFL than it was at Oregon, right? Like, it has to be.
Well, and the crazy thing is like,
yeah, but I think the context is different, right?
For sure.
I think it's the offense, the teammates he was playing with at Oregon.
Oh, definitely.
Mean,
they were better teams. You
Definitely.
Know?
Of course.
But I would love to have seen him this year play against Oregon's defense, though. Like, that's one of those things for me where it's like, it's not necessarily the Pac-12 is so bad, but like when you're not, when you take Oregon out of the mix, like they're not all that great.
No, I think he made some real improvements with his accuracy and his decisiveness. And his command of that Oregon offense, especially that last year, was supreme. And he took that to the next level to where you start to see some eye manipulation stuff and, you know, really seem to feel comfortable and kind of working that second layer of the defense, you know. And and the accuracy on just deep balls, you know, just a straight go.
No,
very good. And again, decisive, like just getting it out, knowing when to run. It's all going to come down to the raw tools. It's all going to come down to the special sauce for me. Because he's not going to be able to do that unless he's got, like, Jalen Hurts' raw tools. You tell me, like, hey, it turns out at that size, that speed, he actually is closer to Jalen Hurts than, like, just average. And I've also talked myself into this is a guy who maybe in a Brock Purdy-like setting could have that kind of pop.
Absolutely.
Right?
Definitely.
Half-field reads, Shanahan offense, a little more on the move, decisive again.
Yeah.
You make it work. More of an asset as a runner.
I just feel like that's an exception. That's
Combine's
not the rule.
Combine's going to be big for him. Brock Purdy, a big Parcells rule guy, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yes.
Kind of brought the Parcells rules back.
And exactly. Back. Yeah. I mean, it's just so weird.
This guy, though, man.
I know.
The numbers are the numbers, and the success is the success. Like, there is... You can't just totally write him off, is my thing.
You can't.
No. Where it's like there is stuff that you have to like and appreciate. And like the efficiency is like historic, honestly. Like, did he set the record for completion percentage? If not, he must have come close.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah. And so to do all that, but then you look back at...
And over the course of his career, I mean, it's right there. 66% like Caleb Williams, like Jaden Daniels. J.J. McCarthy's 67%. It's very high.
But the variance in that is crazy.
Exactly.
It's wild.
It's not even like varies so much as it's terrible, terrible, terrible. Like, it's like 58, 59, 61. Also, goes to Oregon, 71,
72. Completion percentage, great. Context really matters. Like, how many of those are NFL throws?
They throw screens like 5 to 8 times a game.
Because they work.
They
like,
do work.
It's not a knock on the system. Absolutely. The system's incredible.
I mean, their go routes and single coverage to Troy Franklin or Tez Johnson also work, you know?
Exactly.
And that's why I made the joke of, like, if you want to play pitch and catch in the backyard with your kids, that's as simple as some of these reads are.
You have Who are the receivers at Auburn? You would have had Seth Williams. That's the one I can think of.
Oh, man, who was the other one?
Yeah, Seth Williams.
I thought there was another big guy who was good.
Like Cobbs or something.
Damn.
I don't know, but it's not.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's not what he has here.
Gus Malzahn got fired during that time. It wasn't a good situation at Auburn, guys. It
probably just could have saved his job if
it just
he was
wasn't.
Better.
He could have, for sure.
Yeah.
Anthony Schwartz.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Who?
I mean,
Troy Franklin, Anthony Schwartz, like.
Speedster, but never turned out to be
in
anything.
The NFL, yeah.
Michael Pratt's the last one out of Tulane. He is a super senior, which is why I think he kind of fits this. 47 career games, 28-19 record, 60.6% completion percentage. Barely got it. Lowest touchdown to interception ratio outside of Michael Penix, 3.5. Bigger than Bo Nix. Probably less athletic, but I think competency as a runner, I like him the same. No special sauce.
Yeah.
Accuracy thrown on the run, questionable. Something that concerns me about JJ a little bit as well.
Like, if you had to bet on these quarterbacks who would have the longest NFL career, like he'd be up there.
He's pretty safe.
Yeah.
No, and I tell you, of all these guys, he's probably the guy I was able to talk myself into the most after doing this exercise and seeing all the boxes that he checks.
Yeah. I'd almost go Drake May as a guy who lasts a long time. Like, he's the other one I look at where he was like, look at what he does down the field. It's like, to me, he oozes NFL quarterback, but just not necessarily like great NFL quarterback, good NFL quarterback. Like, to me, you know,
he's my alone there.
Yeah. I mean, there is some of that. Like, if
to
you
me,
want, I'm not going
to
say no.
Feels a massive.
Interesting. Okay.
Jose asking, are they all taller than Russ?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's not hard to do.
So 6'1" is the shortest.
I'm actually not, but I'm pretty close.
6'1" would be the shortest. Yeah, is Bo Nix as small as any of these guys?
What's Penix listed at?
He's got to be 6'2".
It's going to be along the same range.
Yeah, I'm
it's
curious.
It's going to be along the same exact range there.
I'm curious about the combine for these guys, too. Just mostly for
I am, which height. You never say for quarterbacks.
But there's so many questions.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like, Bo Pratt and Penix, we would have got officials at the Senior Bowl.
Oh, true. Yeah. That's true.
But I want to know how much Jaden Daniels weighs.
Exactly. I want to know how tall Caleb Williams is, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Size thresholds are going down as Parcells' Definitely. Rules make a comeback thanks to Brock Purdy.
And it's just the NFL, like, everybody's smaller now. It's all about small and fast. The quarterbacks can get away with it, too.
A little bit. A little bit.
Weird quarterback class, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of these guys that check off all the Parcells rules. Can't say that with a lot of classes. So there we go.
Can I ask one question before Please. We get to the end?
Please.
So there have been two times in NFL history that quarterbacks have gone 1-2-3.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that happens this year?
No.
Yes.
Really? Okay. That's the third.
Drake May.
Well, and who's your second?
Jaden Daniels.
I love that question. Okay. I agree. Mean, yeah.
It's the consensus three.
Yeah.
In the order we just talked about them.
We've been, I don't know, there's been J.J. McCarthy two hype recently and stuff.
Totally. Like, there's been all sorts of stuff.
Shout out to Kaloop for the super chat. I'm trying to see if there's any other comments.
Good day to you too, bro.
Matthew saying Penix has been better than Caleb for 2 years. Not sure about that one. And Jose with a hilarious comment. He thought the biggest rivalry in college football was Notre Dame versus the hype. Which in some ways, he's not wrong. Okay.
Stephen A. randomly taking shots at Notre Dame yesterday, too. Did you see that?
Awesome. It's good for the brand. I do it, too.
So, wait, he didn't always wear chains, right? Stephen I was just walking by the gym, and he was like wearing like you know the turtle chain, all that stuff.
Stephen A.?
Yeah.
You walked by Stephen A. at
no,
the gym?
No. Like, no. He was on the TV in the gym. But, like, I don't remember, like, when I was a
we
younger me watching.
On that one.
He was not a guy who was cool enough to wear chains back then. At least in my memory.
Well.
Maybe he was.
He's been around. You know, he wore, like, the big baggy suits, you know, 20 That's years right. ago yeah. and stuff. Right. Like,
okay. He was cool back then.
It's an astute obso there. Well, that's going to do it.
Draft pod special.
That's the quarterbacks in this class. Thank you to the phenomenal work on the production team for those graphics. We'll be back next week with J Mike and a whole lot more. Maybe getting into another position. So stay tuned for that. Bye.
We all silly like the mayor.